Hello, this is Pastor Robert from Esterhazy Baptist Church in Esterhazy, Saskatchewan. Thank you for joining us today. This message is for the week of July 16th, 2023. It's entitled, How to Grow in Wisdom, and it's taken from Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 to 22, the whole chapter of Proverbs chapter 2. The call to worship is from Psalm 145, verses 18, 19, and 21. The Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear Him. He hears their cry and saves them. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise His holy name forever and ever. Amen. Last week, we talked about the value of wisdom as we looked at Proverbs chapter 1, and that it is not only available, in fact, wisdom is out there looking for us and calling out for us to find it. Today in Proverbs chapter 2, we want to learn how we can grow in wisdom. Chapter 2 takes the form of a father teaching his son how to grow in wisdom and also the benefits of doing so, the benefits of growing in wisdom. So first of all, the call to grow in wisdom, chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Let me read it. It says, My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure. So we'll stop there. Those are the first four verses. These four verses make it clear that you are not born with wisdom. Growing in wisdom is a result of deliberate choices. It does not just happen. Three times in these four verses in the NIV translation, we see the phrase, and this is what it's in the Hebrew as well, that phrase, if you accept, if you call out, if you look for it. Obviously, gaining wisdom doesn't just happen. You need the humility to admit that you need it. Parents can teach it to you, but you need to accept it and then start to apply it to your life's choices, taking time to ponder its value. This may mean observing and reflecting on the lives of those who accept and those who reject wisdom's advice. Call out for wisdom and treat it as a treasure worth expending time and effort to search for. In other words, the attitude necessary in your quest for wisdom is a receptive and searching spirit. A receptive and searching spirit. How important is wisdom to you? Are you receptive to it? Are you searching for it? Are you open to wisdom, or do you think you already have all the answers to life that you need? Are you on the hunt for more wisdom? Are you curious enough about how others have managed to successfully navigate life's challenges to listen to their story? What does your life say about how valuable wisdom is to you? There's a story about a proud young man who came to Socrates asking for knowledge. He walked up to the muscular philosopher and said, "Oh, great Socrates, I come to you for knowledge." Socrates recognized his arrogance, but he agreed to help. He led the young man through the streets of the city to the sea, and into chest-deep water. Then he asked him, "What do you want?" "Knowledge, O wise Socrates," said the young man with a smile. Socrates began by putting his strong hands on the man's shoulder, and suddenly he pushed him under the water. 30 seconds later, Socrates led him up. "What do you want?" he asked again. "Wisdom," the young man sputtered. "Oh, great and wise Socrates," and Socrates crunched him again under. 30 seconds passed. 35, 40. Socrates led him up again. The man was gasping. "What do you want, young man?" Between heavy breathing, the fellow wheezed, "Knowledge, oh wise and wonderful," and Socrates jammed him back under the water again. This time 40 seconds passed, 50 seconds, and then he let him up. "What do you want?" "Air," he screeched. "I need air." At that point, Socrates said to him, "When you want knowledge, as you have just wanted air, then you will have knowledge." This story demonstrates an important point. To get serious about growing in wisdom, we must see wisdom as essential to our survival. Do you see wisdom as essential to your survival, as necessary as breath, as air? So we need a receptive spirit, and we also need a searching spirit that's looking for it. How vital is wisdom to you? In chapter 2, verses 5 to 19, we are shown the results of the three "if you" statements, if you. So the results of growing in wisdom, the first is theological discernment. In verses 5 to 8, theological discernment, that means understanding God and his ways. Then you will, there's the first then, if you, the first four verses, verse 5, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless, for he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. The first result of being receptive to and searching for wisdom is a greater understanding and appreciation of God and his ways. In other words, theological discernment. This is so important to understand. When you seek wisdom, you find God, because God is the source of wisdom. The fool sees no evidence of God's care for his people. The wise come to see that God is the source of wisdom and knowledge, and it is he who gives success and protection to his people. It's not their hard work. It's not their intelligence. It's their trusting in God and his wisdom that has made the difference in their lives. Now, the second result of being receptive to wisdom and searching for it is moral discernment. The first was theological discernment. The second is moral discernment, that is, proper and careful behavior in life. We see this in verses 9, 10, and 11. Verse 9 begins with another result of "if you." It says, "Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you." We see here, allow wisdom and its accompanying fear of the Lord to enter your heart. And as you do, it will guard and protect you from behavior that will lead you to moral harm and personal destruction. Wisdom will help you discern that if it seems too good to be true, it is. The writer of Proverbs 2 now gives two situations that following the path of wisdom will save you from: the schemes of the wicked, or the schemes of wicked men and women. These schemes promise wealth and pleasure, common goals in life, but they promise them without the weight, the work, or the usual commitments. So in verses 12 to 19, we're introduced to two tempters. Two tempters. The first in verses 12 to 14. Violence and crime and the feelings of power that that way of life offers. Violence and crime and the feelings of power that that way of life offers. Verses 12 to 15. 12 to 15 say, wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse, who have left the straight paths to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men. The adjective wicked describes what is unpleasant and brings pain and misery. This occurs through perverse words and things contrary to what is right and proper. Following the way of wisdom protects us from those who seek to turn the Lord's way upside down and draw us into their rebellion by creating ethical chaos and delighting in doing wrong. Proverbs warns us against this type of man, but this sin is not limited to men. Neither is the next limited to women. So the second tempter is easy and seemingly uncomplicated sexual pleasures. The first tempter is violence, crime, that feeling of power. The second is easy and seemingly uncomplicated sexual pleasures. Verses 16 to 19. Wisdom will save you also from the adulterous woman, from the wayward woman with her seductive words, who has left the partner of her youth and ignored the covenant she made before God. Surely her house leads down to death and her paths to the spirits of the dead. None who go to her return or attain the paths of life. God's wisdom protects us from those who would seek to bring us to moral ruin through a more subtle enticement, giving into sexual temptation outside God's boundaries in marriage. Seductive, flattering words are spoken to urge one to ignore God's covenant at the altar of pleasure. Wisdom tells us to beware that this type of relationship does not lead to the happiness promised, but to emptiness, sorrow, and destruction. This chapter 2, concludes in verses 20 to 22, as it sums up the two choices that we have been presented. The way of the righteous is contrasted with the twisted paths of the wicked. Verses 20 to 22 say, thus you will walk in the ways of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will live in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the unfaithful will be torn from it. Contrary to what some people will try to tell you, in life we only have two choices: the path that leads to life or the path that leads to death. The way of the righteous or the way of the wicked. It's either one or the other. There is no middle way. There is no sometimes righteous and sometimes wicked. Which way will you choose? The path of life or the path of death? To follow the path of life, you must pay attention to God's wisdom. Search for it. Learn from it. Obey it. Jesus says to us, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 14:6. There is no other way to the Father. There is no shortcut. There is no easy route. If you want to reach God the Father, you must go with Jesus, the way, the truth, the path to eternal life. Choose wisdom. Walk in the way of Jesus, the Son of the living God, and receive life everlasting. Amen. The benediction is from Psalm 67, verses 1 and 2. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known upon the earth, your saving power among all the nations. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. May these words from the Lord in Proverbs chapter 2 stir you to seek God's wisdom and apply it to the decisions that you will be making in your life in the coming days. Again, thank you for joining us. God bless you. Goodbye.